Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is these words and more that we have been celebrating this weekend. It's these words that you and I committed to memory. I was trying to remember when, fourth grade, fifth grade. I remember having to memorize this whole first section, and I remember it causing a great amount of anxiety in my life to get to the place where I could say without reading it that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all are created equal, and we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's what we've been enjoying this last weekend. We take a day off, we celebrate, we do quintessentially American things. We gather on the lawn and we watch fireworks. We eat barbecue, we have family reunions, we play on the lake, we rest, we enjoy some of that happiness that is part of this founding document, this founding idea of what makes our nation such a wonderful place to live. Matter of fact, we're so committed to barbecue that we found out on the 4th of July that if you don't want to wait in line, go to Payway on the 4th of July. There were three people there. Chris, Caroline, and me. So hopefully, as we've been enjoying our life and our liberty and our pursuit of happiness, we've also taken some time to reflect on those things and think about them. What do these things mean? I mean, it's not just a holiday. It's not just time to have some barbecue and a family reunion. There's a reason behind that. It's because of this amazing thing that happened. This amazing idea that our forebears had in mind, that a place could exist on this earth where people could live in peace and could pursue life and could pursue liberty and could pursue happiness under their own definition of those things. And hopefully we've also given some reflection about the cost of that life and that liberty and that happiness and have paused to give thanks for those who have made it possible. The text actually for today, of course, do not speak directly to the 4th of July, nor do they speak to nation, nor do they speak to the principles of nation. But interestingly, there is an intersection between this pursuit of life and liberty and happiness and the text that we have assigned for today, especially the gospel lesson. To remember, by the time we get to the 11th chapter, we've kind of been all over the map in the life of Jesus. First, John the Baptist came, and he is serious, and he is mournful, and he is wailing and lamenting the sin of the people, and he is saying, get ready, the Messiah is coming, you do not have all day, get prepared. And then Jesus came and opened his mouth, and far from being this dire thing that John the Baptist had warned of, Jesus opens his mouth with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. A totally different image. And then Jesus is rejected. And he begins to opine about why he was rejected in today's gospel lesson. Apparently there is something he said about this generation, but I think it might be all generations, and it's certainly our generation, that is just never quite satisfied with what they're hearing. It's never quite satisfied. He says, you're like little kids who say, come dance for us or come cry with us, and you didn't do either one. So John came and he said, get ready, be serious. You've been breaking the laws of the Lord. You need to repent and obey the law. And you rejected him as someone who is possessed by the devil. I come proclaiming peace and love and generosity. I eat and I drink. And you say that I'm a glutton and a drunkard. Just something about what is just not quite right. And then he talks about how God has hidden actual truth from the wise. But then he says this strange text, this strange thing right at the end. It actually, you even wonder, how did this get on the end of this sentence? How did he put these together? After this warning that he has, he says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We're going all over the place. We're going back and forth and back and forth, from dire warning to peace and comfort, from joy and celebration to dire warning, and then back to my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Apparently, human beings are not really very good at pursuing life and liberty and happiness. At least not the kind of life and the kind of liberty and the kind of happiness that the kingdom of God is talking about. So if you put these two things together, I think that the text and the weekend pose the same question for us, which is, what kind of life do we pursue? How do we use the liberty that we have? And how do we define happiness? You know, we think about those things at different intersections in our life. Is the life that I live the right life? Is it the good life? Is this all there is? Is this what I ought to be doing with my life? You know, we think about that when we get out of school and we go to work for the first time. I want to give myself to this big thing, and then we work. And then we work and we work and we work. And then we think about it again when the kids leave the house, and we think about it again as we're well on into our career, and we think about it again as we face retirement, and we think about it again as we are in the last years of our life. Has my life been a good life? Has it been the right kind of life? Have I used my liberties well? Have I pursued the right things? Chris and I had a little taste of this just in the last couple of weeks, because the boys are off doing their thing, as you know, and Caroline was gone on a trip with her friends. And so Chris and I said we were going to practice being empty nesters, you know, see what this is like. So we had all the fun that you would expect. We had time together, and it was great fun, and we had great meals together. We even had some meals with some friends we haven't seen in a long, long time. But then, after a while, we found ourselves just staring at each other in the living room. And we said, "So what do people do when they don't have children to boss around, you know?" And so we started asking the questions, and actually we've had some really good conversations since that time about our life. Are we living the right kind of life? Are the choices we're making good choices? Are the liberties that we're enjoying worth the trouble? And are we really happy? Because you see, in the Christian faith, there's this different template that we lay over this life and liberty and pursuit of happiness. It preceded these words, and it is after these words. Because in the Christian faith, the gospel demands that we ask the question, is the life you live a kingdom life? Is the liberty you enjoy a kingdom liberty? And is the happiness you pursue kingdom happiness? Because I think for most of us, the answer is yes and no. And that's why your shoulders might be tired. And that's why your back might hurt and your hips might ache and your knees might ache, because we have been carrying burdens for a very long time. And we have been working very, very hard for a life and for a liberty and a happiness that are not kingdom life and are not kingdom liberty and not kingdom happiness. How many of us spend our life just running as fast as we can, racing with the, I don't know who, the guy that lives next door or someone at work, or the way the culture defines for us, without any examination of what we ought to want and what we ought to care about? And it's so heavy. And then we hear Jesus whisper in our ear, "That was going to wear you out. So how about you put that down and pick up my yoke?" It is interesting that Jesus doesn't say, take off your yoke and have a rest, which is what we'd like him to say, right? Let's say, you've been a good and faithful servant. Let's just take that yoke off and lay it down, and you just take a nap. That's what we want him to say. That's not what he says. He gives us more work to do. He gives us a different kind of work. The writer Lance Papp says this. He says that when Jesus offers is not freedom from work, but freedom from onerous labor. Because soul-sick weariness is not the inevitable consequence of all work, but rather of a work to which one is ill-suited, a work extracted under compulsion or motivated by fear, or a work performed in the face of futility. He says there's also the weariness that comes from having nothing at all to do that truly matters. Maybe that's why our shoulders are sore. Maybe that's why our back hurts and our knees ache. As we've been schlepping along and carrying a load, it really just doesn't matter. Contrarily, Papp says the easy yoke means having something to do, a purpose that demands your all and summons forth your best. It means work that is motivated by a passionate desire to see the kingdom of God realized. It means work toward a certain future in which all of God's dreams will finally come true. To accept the yoke of gentle and humble Lord is to embrace the worthy task that puts the soul at rest. You know about that kind of work. And we have to say, we're not just talking about your job, what your job is, or the actual task that you do, but it has to do with how we embrace the job. And the other things that we strive for and that we aspire to in our lives, are they worth your strength? Are they worth your courage? Are they worth what you have to offer? Because you know the difference, don't you? You know the difference between onerous labor and soul-sick weariness and work that puts you at ease. You've had both kind of days where you have worked and worked and worked, and when the day is over, you feel like all you did was run as fast as you could so you wouldn't be drugged behind the car. And you also know the feeling of wearing yourself out and lying down and saying, oh, that was just right. That was worth every single bit of energy I put in. Today, Jesus is inviting us to take off the onerous, soul-sick weariness of meaningless work and set it aside, and to take on the yoke instead of the kingdom of God. What is the yoke of the kingdom of God? Well, it's all those words that Jesus said when he first opened his mouth in the gospel and the Beatitudes. It's all those things we say in our baptismal covenant. It's about coming to Christ and allowing Christ to be the king of your life. It's about allowing Christ to set the agenda for your life. It's about sharing the love of Christ with the whole world, regardless of who it is. It's about all those things we say in that covenant, that we will seek and serve Christ in all persons, and we will love our neighbors as ourselves. We will strive for justice and peace and respect the dignity of every human being. Those are kingdom values. That's the yoke of the kingdom. That is the yoke of a life and a liberty and a pursuit of happiness that is consistent with the kingdom of God. So the question for us this morning is the life you live, the liberty we enjoy, and the happiness we pursue, kingdom life, kingdom liberty, and kingdom happiness? Because if they're not, they're just a burden. But if they are, well, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.